change gears now. You're listening to WSLM 96.5 LPFM in Sarasota, Florida. So we're going to show you a weapon of mass destruction. Joan?
Well, yes, we have three visitors with us now in the studio. Philip Palin, the Vice Mayor for Culture and Tourism of Antwerp, because of the exhibit opening at the Ringling Museum of Peter Paul Rubens. Welcome, welcome, Philip Palin. And if you could introduce these two gentlemen who are with you, and then tell us a little bit about the Rubens exhibit and what's going on.
Well, first of all, I'm very happy to be back here.
I should say that when Mr. Palin was with us, back when we were in the other studio, talking about the red line and the immigrants who came to this country by means of the port in Antwerp.
Yeah, that was in late spring or summer last year. But now I'm very happy to be back here, especially because what I promised last year is to bring a wonderful exhibition of one of the most important people of the 17th century, Peter Paul Rubens, here to the Ringling Museum of Art. And it opened today. It was a pre-opening for the members of the museum yesterday, last night.
And I think
if you see the press today and you hear all the voices of all the people who were there last night, they're very well impressed and happy to be here also with the director of the Royal Museum of Fine Arts of Antwerp, Dr. Paul Newton, and also with the CEO of the Cultural Department of the City of Antwerp, Bruno Verberg. And the three of us have been talking and promoting this exhibition and also telling a little about that wonderful city that Antwerp is.
Well, yes, and I think we always want to hear about that. I marvel at the breadth of your background and knowledge to go from the red line and immigration to this great artist. And welcome to all three of you. Who wants to start telling us about Antwerp?
Well, Antwerp is a city located in Belgium, close to Brussels. Brussels is where you find the headquarters of the European Union in NATO. And together with Washington, it's the two places in the world where you have most diplomats. So it's a very international location. Antwerp is at about 20 minutes drive from Brussels, and it's a very old city. It goes back to the 9th century, and above all, it's a city with a major world port, the port of Antwerp. And because of that fact, Antwerp always has been very international. We today have more than 165 nationalities living on the territory of the city of Antwerp. And it's a city with a tremendous past, but it's also a very contemporary city, and that is a very good, how should I say, feeling, to live there, to invest there, or to be creative over there.
And tell us about the Rubens exhibit. How this all came to pass? There was some Rubens art here.
Yeah, well, it's an amazing story. My family immigrated to the United States in the 19th century, and then second part, just after the Second World War. And when I came with my wife, I think about 10 or 9 years ago, to visit them when they were living here in Florida. We also did a little tour of Florida, a beautiful state. And so we ended up here in Sarasota. And by coming over here to Sarasota, after spending 2 days on the beach, I wanted to do something else, and I found this museum, Ringling, about a man's circus and things like that. And I said, well, I'm not really into circus things, but, why not go over and have a look? In those days, the entrance was still the main entrance where you went in, and you were immediately overwhelmed by the large paintings of Rubens. Now, being born and studied and lived all my life in Antwerp, and knowing that Peter Paul Rubens is about our most important ambassador and one of the most prodigious artists of his time, it was really overwhelming to go in and to see those five huge paintings.
You did not know about them?
I did not know that those paintings were here. And then by being there and reading about it, we found out that John Ringling was probably the first to buy those such large paintings of Rubens, the first in the United States, because Rubens became more popular and more known here, let's say after the Second World War. That's when there were more collections going to add large paintings of Rubens in their collection. So John Ringling really did something amazing in saying, yes, I want to have it. And then secondly, because of the story about it, the Eucharist, the series, is about the daughter of the King of Spain, Philip II, had a daughter, the Infanta Isabella, and she commissioned in the beginning of the 17th century, and it was finished around 1626 by Rubens, she commissioned Rubens to make large paintings, and of those paintings she wanted to have tapestries. Those tapestries are still hanging in Spain, in the Causas Reales Church in Madrid. And afterwards, the question was what happened to those paintings. We know about seven, and of those seven, five are hanging here in the museum. So it is quite exceptional, but I think that Dr. Paul Juven knows much more about that.
Well, indeed. Nowadays, we have quite a lot of Rubens art in the States. But it's quite recent, and it's only the last decades that the taste for Rubens started in the US. And this makes the collection of the Rubens so peculiar that before the Second World War, they collected Rubens, and not small, but really monumental Rubens. And this leads us, of course, to the city of Antwerp. Well, you should imagine that in the 16th and 17th century, Antwerp, as a part of that huge Spanish empire, Antwerp faced also as a kind of Hollywood, the place where the images were made and produced and spread all over the world. And that makes Antwerp of the time of Rubens so important. That makes also the things Rubens did for that industry also so interesting. And the confrontation of our rich collection of prints and engravings with the collections of the museum gives us a beautiful opportunity to start a collaboration between the museum of fine arts and the museum.
So, it's
a museum. In detail, about the museums and everything close together.
This is quite different. So, tell us a little more about the exhibit and whether things change from what we usually see when we go there.
Yeah, well, the exhibit is about prints. So, let me try to explain this in a very easy way. I mean, Rubens was very popular in the time when he lived. He was born in the late 16th century, in 1577, and he passed away in 1640. Now, ever since he started to paint, he was very famous. He went to Italy, he went to the Gonzaga family, in Mantua, he went to Genoa, and he was very close with kings and queens. And so people knew about Rubens, but not everybody had the money to buy or to order or permission work by him. So in those days, we didn't have Facebook and we didn't have the internet. So there was something else. And that something else was, as Paul said, with prints. So on a certain moment, others started to make prints of paintings of Rubens. And he found out about it. And he didn't like, because he was very keen in everything that he did, but he was above all a very shrewd businessman. And he said, well, if prints are becoming so popular, and what I see they make of my work is something I don't like, so what did he do? He wanted to have the copyright of his own works. So that's what he did, and he went to ask permission for that, and he got that. Yes, of his own copyright, and then he went to look for artists. He would make a painting, a drawing, or whatever, and then we really had to be artists who had to do the engravers. We had to do the engraving. And then he supervised it. What you have here in the museum, you can see the difference with those prints, you know, that were no copyrights, but were afterwork of Rubens, but not done under, supervision of Rubens, and then the ones he did with his copyrights, which were done by extremely talented artists. And you both see the difference in the exhibition, and that makes this exhibition really a unique one.
Paul, perhaps you can add something to that.
Indeed, but just to set up copyright now, nowadays we think it's a guarantee to have copyright when you have copyright. But in those days, you have to you have to protect your copyright with the patent. So Rubens needed to buy the patent for each image and dot in every state where he wanted to protect his copyright. And that's very funny. And we can read on each print, for which country. So it's the Republic of Holland, it is the Kingdom of Spain, it's the Kingdom of Belgium, it's France. So for every country, we have to buy and to pay some of those copyrights. And that's a big business.
Was this the beginning of that type of print or had that been going on? The prints that they make of well-known paintings and artworks. Well, prints are often for sale, certainly in this country. And some of them are done by authorized printmakers and some are not. I'm wondering whether this is the beginning of that kind of print or whether that's like that.
Well, the printing started in the 15th century in Germany, and then developed in the 16th century in the Netherlands, in Antwerp, in the Low Countries. But the point is that what kind of graphic author is the kind of production? Yeah. And Rubens was a real controversy, and his copyright claims he considered really as authentic. Prints made by what they call a penetrant graver, just like Rembrandt or Dürer, or the real great printmakers in these art. The strange thing is that Rubens graphic, up to now, has always been considered as a production graphic. And for the most of them, it's the fact that for those 60 engravings that Rubens really made himself, as you can say so. They make them very, very special and also in quality superior to the others.
This is so interesting. Unfortunately, we're out of time. The Rubens exhibit will continue at the Rubens Museum through June 3rd of this year. So, knowing all this new information will make it really very interesting. So, I think nobody wants to miss it. And I thank you all for coming in. This is Real News. This is WFLR, LPFM 96.5, Sarasota Community Radio. Thank you very much.